welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Sports Weekend Show.
That's very smooth, but I think we need to pump up the energy a little bit.
Yeah, so, man.
So let's do that. So you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and to pump you up, give us a call, man. 718-664-9098. Busy show, a lot of stuff to get into. Look, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. A lot of college football, NBA, basketball stuff, predictions, preview show, same thing with the NFL. Check it out. Very interactive, great poll questions. And answer some, man. Who's going to win the MVP this year in basketball? So, you know, same thing. Ray and Tay Today at Facebook and Twitter. And, Ray, let them know how we going to flow.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of stuff happening. It seems like a while ago, but we just had a World Series champion. So we'll get into that. We'll bring you the breaking news like we always do. We'll talk about some standout performances in the NBA. We'll preview this week's matchup, three top 25 matchups in college football. We'll talk about this game we had, the Thursday night football game, also had a big injury. And then we'll finish the show with football. We'll ride out with week 9 in the NFL, and then we'll give you some fantasy football advice, studs and duds, start 'em and sit 'em. Call it whatever you want. We're going to talk about,
Man.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's getting ugly. 16's on bye this week. So there's some critical down-the-stretch playoff GMing you got to do.
Definitely. If you want to make the playoffs. And Ray and I are battling this week in our fantasy basketball league, back to business with our boy Oren. So we finger roll and get off me are battling. Ray is finger roll. Tay is get off me. And then we're battling in Ray and Tay Today, first annual football league, right? We're going head to head with that one,
in football and basketball. How crazy is that?
Let's do it. So listen, talking about crazy and wild, you know, and you mentioned that World Series, but before we wrap up the baseball season, just in some breaking news, it looks like our boy Derek Jeter, ankle and all, which I told you since I went through it, he wouldn't really play that much last year, and he didn't. But he signs a one-year deal and will probably retire with class like Mariano and Pettit did and play at least one more year for $12 million with the Yankees. Are you happy with that? That's probably the right way to go, right?
Yeah, I don't know that the Yankees have anybody in the farm system. I don't know that the Yankees have anybody that they think is the heir apparent to Jeter. I mean, there's people that are playing. You know, they have Adams and Knicks, and they have, bunch of other players that can hit. None of them can really provide what Jeter provides. If he gives you 130 games and he even hits 280, that's about as good as it gets. You know, at this point in his career, he gets to ride out as a Yankee. Hopefully he's healthy, and maybe he sets the table at the top of the lineup. So it's fine. It's completely fine. I think it's good for both sides.
So what do you think about all these NFL injuries? I mean, obviously last night we'll talk about that game, but we lost Geno Atkins, the Bengals. That's a great young defensive lineman, great player. Torn ACL out for the season. So, I mean.
Yeah, those linemen are in that close contact, and then he twisted his ankle, and then he fell, or his knee, and then he fell, and I don't know, man. Geno Atkins, he's somebody that I don't think that the Bengals can afford to lose. You know, I'm very high on the Bengals this year. You know, that one play, we'll talk about it, but that one play may have turned their season around. Two plays, right?
It's a horrible loss.
Geno Atkins is injured.
Wow.
So that's
horrible
a big
loss,
deal.
But... Yeah, no, we'll get to it. But also, Justin Blackmon, you know, off of the suspension, has a couple of big games fantasy owners were going crazy, and then he gets suspended again out indefinitely or maybe the rest of the season. What's up with your boy Justin, who had problems in college, man?
Well, that's one of those issues. It's funny because, you know, GMs get a lot of slack in the NFL, especially for doing these background searches and these, you know, doing all this research and all this homework on these kids. And sometimes they do cross the line, but this is a case where you can see that the Jags, you know, they took a calculated risk, right? And they need playmakers. Gosh, do they need playmakers on that team. But they need to just blow that team up. I don't know how you do that, but they need to
blow them up and move to London. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because they won't give them L.A. L.A. would be too much of a gravy train. I mean, they want somebody to pay through the nose to go to L.A. Like, you get a huge, huge upgrade if you're going from Jacksonville to L.A. in terms of TV market and peripheral revenues. But anyway, but that being aside, Justin Blackmon, you know, this guy had signs of being a little, you know, troubled off the field from his days at Oklahoma State. Who knows? Even high school. And so it's just a case where you feel bad for this kid, but he's got to get his life right. You know, his life hasn't been right off the field, and they didn't suspend him for a game, two, or four. They suspended him indefinitely. And you've only been in the league for a couple of weeks. I mean, I'm exaggerating, right? But he's only been in the league for a short period of time, right? You know, 6 minutes in the league, Dougie Fresh, and you're suspended indefinitely. This isn't like you've been in the league for 10, 12 years.
Right, and then on the other side, right, two sort of contrasting things. We have Alden Smith being activated and returning probably in a week or so with the Niners, and
he
sort of
right
has admitted he had some issues and he's coming back or whatever. But then you've got your boy, Jonathan Martin, offensive tackle for the Dolphins, who, you know, I guess, you know, cats call him Big Weirdo. The linemen invited him to the lunch table in the cafeteria. Then they all got up when he sat down. He stormed out, left the facility, hasn't come back. You know, it's a weird situation, but at the same time, I think, you know, he's probably has some mental issues. And I just think we got to be sensitive to it. And it's bullying and stuff like that and the hazing of the rookies. It happens all the time in sports everywhere. Maybe it should stop across the world and America. But if it does happen and you're getting paid millions of dollars or, you know, almost that, and you're getting ready to go to, you know, after your second, third year as a tackle, maybe go from a, you know, a million to a year to $7-8 million a year, I almost feel like you got to suck it up and man up and I don't know, Ray. That's a hard one for me. I'm like, Jonathan Martin, you got to just, like, rock with it. So what? You're Big Weirdo, but you're about to be Big Weirdo and paid if you're the starting tackle for the Dolphins. Come on, man.
See, but you're speaking
handle
rationally.
Handle it, B.
And I think that we got some emotions going on here. And the funny thing is, you know, in society, we talk about bullying and we want to eliminate bullying from society and starting with the young, with the kids and everything. But
it happens everywhere.
It happens
everywhere in life,
but especially in sports. And it's a fine line, right, between encouraging somebody, getting on them, you know, critiquing them, and then straight up bullying. Well, apparently he was bullied, I guess, but it happens every day in every sport at every level. So I just think that it was the perfect storm here. He probably has some sensitivity going into this, and maybe he's been carrying this with him for a while, and then he just snapped. But like you said, like we talked about off-air, you know, Ray and Tay also talk off-air, if you didn't know that. Like you said, off-air, it's one of those things. Mental health is tricky, you know, especially you if you can't walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, you don't understand what he's going
it's
through.
It's hard to judge.
So even though we say, you know, snap out of it, you're getting paid, you know, go seek help outside the organization or whatever, but sometimes in the moment you can't do that. So, you know, we want
right.
him to come back.
Hey, God bless the kid, right? And we wish him well and hope he comes back. Because it's a shame to see. He's a talent. The kid's got potential.
Yeah, Stanford
kid.
You know, we had our boy David Shaw, and I'm sure David
Shaw spoke well of
him.
Yeah,
maybe he sent him a text or something.
Talking about potential, let's move on. Let's go to what's current, what's happening, and what's now. The NBA season is tipped off, and Ray's pick for MVP and Tay's pick for MVP got bisms. So opening night, my pick leads, you know, OKC to, I think, a three-point win over the Jazz, 42 points, scoring at will, Kevin Durant just doing it. Game one, a little rough for CP3, get beat by the reserves of the Lakers. Game two, Ray's MVP, one of the most historical, you know, stat lines ever. What did he gave up 38 to Curry, but he drops 42, 15, and 6 steals and sets some sort of record for the most amount of steals with that amount of points in, you know, NBA history in a game. But I want to ask you, forget about our guys and forget about D. Rose beating the Knicks. We'll get to that last night. What do you think about Michael Carter-Williams and his stat line beating the Heat game one at Philly, you know, game one for the Philly, game two for the Heat without D. Wade, but 22, 12, and 9, and 7.
It was
That's
crazy.
That's ridiculous.
See,
talk to me.
That, dígame, that
Woo!
Is
NCW.
The new
Woo!
That's the new age point guard.
Them young boys,
tall, skinny, rangy, athletic, and
Woo!
Talented. The one thing we knew Michael Carter-Williams could defend, and we knew he could assist. We knew he could run the team. I mean, we knew. We saw him for 1 year at Syracuse. But we said, all
right,
this kid's got some skills. But, you know, he hit 4 out of 6 threes. We didn't think he could shoot like that. Now, granted, it's only one game, of course, but what a rookie debut. 22 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, 9 steals. The kid had 9 steals. He almost had a quadruple.
That's bananas.
He almost messed
That's
around
bananas.
And had a quadruple double.
Wait, on the humble against LeBron. I don't care if D-Wade was out because D-Wade wasn't going to be sticking him. But he did this against Chalmers, who's respected as a decent defensive point guard, and Cole, you know,
right.
NBA champions, and LeBron James. He outshined LeBreezy.
I was upset as a former big-time Sixer fan. You know, Ray and Tay grew up
too.
As Sixer fans, especially with
Doc
Dr.
J and Barkley,
Mo Cheeks and Barkley and Andrew Toney and all that crew. Mark Iverley.
And the first dunking white boy. Wait, stop the presses. Don't discard the first nasty dunking white boy, Bobby Jones. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, and Tom Chambers. We had a few.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When they traded Drew Holiday, I said to myself, wow, they traded Drew Holiday to end up getting essentially Nerlens and a number one pick. But now, if you think about it, that draft next year is going to be fabulous. They're talking about potentially 5 guys changing franchises. So changing the course of franchises. So if you can get Nerlens healthy for next year, and I actually don't think I don't think he's going to be much more than a role player in the NBA. I mean, at best, he's Marcus Camby. But let's say you get more out of him and you get, you know, Thaddeus Young establishes himself as a bona fide starter. Michael Carter-Williams holds it down. You have
Evan Turner starting to play.
And yeah, I like Evan Turner as a role player. I don't think Evan Turner's actually a starter.
Right. But, I mean, he's sort of like a solid who's our guy that used to play for the – like Derek McKee. He's like versatile. Plays a little 2-3,
yes,
McKee
was
3-4.
He's like the 2-3 version of Derek McKee, So if this team can stay under the radar screen and then next year add the Pelicans' number one, their number one, and Nerlens Noel to this team, if Michael Carter-Williams turns out to be, you know, a decent point guard, hey – we're
Say
looking
it,
up.
Ray.
And this is a team that you know, suffered through Andrew Bynum not even playing a game for them. So,
a whole season.
A season of waiting for Andrew Bynum. So if you're a Sixer fan, if you're listening in Philly, and I know we got some people in Philly and South Jersey, you know what? Be patient.
Stand up.
But you might have something. You might have something in the next few years. I mean, it might be Cavs and Sixers.
Plus,
plus
a great young head coach and Brett Brown, who I think, you know, being with the Spurs, some of these new young coaches, look, we had, what, 13 or 16 new coaches? I mean, half the league switched over. But give Brett Brown, and then you got the guy Clifford and the Bobcats, some of these young guys, and we know about our boy Stevens in the Celtics. So let's see, you know, maybe we shouldn't criticize what they're doing, and let's just sort of be patient, watch this year and watch next year. But I will say this. I was happy to see Bynum play when the Cleveland Cavs beat the Brooklyn Nets. Shout out to our boy Ricky Rivers, you know, who's been on the show, Brooklyn Nets fan and big time Brooklyn guy, right? But what do you think about Cleveland? Kyrie, what I loved is Kyrie was not scoring the game, but he assisted and rebounded and still got away for his team to win with Varejão and Bynum coming back from injury and not really doing so much, but as a whole team, them still doing what they need to do to win.
You know, if you're happy in Philadelphia, I think you're finally going to be happy in Cleveland too. Your baseball team made the playoffs. Now, they got eliminated quick, fast, in a hurry, but they made the playoffs. Totally unexpected. I thought they made a couple of moves in the offseason. I didn't think it was enough. Ray was wrong. But in basketball, you have a situation where this is a young team. Remember, quiet is kept. Shh, don't tell anybody. They had their number one overall pick, right? So they have a front court now of young studs in Anthony Bennett, if he turns out to be a player, and Tristan Thompson. You have what you and I both agree is probably right now, let alone in the next 2-3 years, a top five point guard.
But
first start with Kyrie. Kyrie, you know, he's a top five point guard.
He's exceptional. He's exceptional.
If Deion Waiters turns out to be a player, then you've got one of the nicest backcourts in the league. So that Cleveland Cavs team, if they can get anything from Bynum and Varejão up front, I tell you what, I talked about
this
off-air. And don't let LeBron go back to Cleveland. That's totally crazy. We won't talk about
that. That's insane,
But this young Cleveland
team roster
is exciting.
And Mike Brown might be... I don't love him as a coach, but I love him in terms of the philosophy of defense first and work hard and grind. And when you've got this natural talent, if you teach these young athletes, you throw in there Tyler Zeller, you throw in there Earl Clark, who started to step up with playing time last year with the Lakers, you throw in all these guys, Ray, and, hey, don't trade Varejão. Keep the big man rotation of Bynum, Varejão, Thompson, Bennett, and Zeller, and let me tell you something, they can be not just the sixth seed in the East, but they could be whatever you want, you know, they could be nasty. Let me ask you this, though. Let's talk about our Knicks. They win an ugly game one, get a big lead, whatever, you know, over Milwaukee, and, you know, our boy Brandon Knight got hurt in the game. We hope he comes back. Luke Rennauer was already, injured, and then Walters took over from, South Dakota, our boy Walters. So, the Knicks win that after Milwaukee makes a great run. Not so great, but I will say promising was Tyson Chandler and how he looks. But then game two, we saw great things from Bagnani. The Knicks lose 82-81. DeRozan comes down after Chandler missed one free throw, right? DeRozan is back, and he kind of boogied, went to the hole, hit a little, 6-to-8-footer and scored. Carmelo comes down 9 seconds and basically gets the ball, holds it, and settles for a jumper. Now, as a Knicks fan, and we had Anthony Donahue on here from the Anthony Donahue Show, who's, you know, all Knicks all the time. And I guess for me, you, Anthony, you know, all the legendary Knicks fans, our boy Edgar Burgos, everybody, you've got Preston Simmons. You've got to be annoyed because, to me, Anthony has got to get to the point where – yes, you're sort of like Bernard King, and you can hit those shots, but go to the basket. I feel like sometimes Carmelo is lazy, and it's like shoot the jumper, hit or miss, and then that's it. But if you go and take it to the hole, the guy sticking you, he's not going to stop you. Maybe I think it was Dang. I'm not sure who it was on him. But you could probably get fouled and maybe win the game or at least tie it in overtime at the free throw line.
You know, but here's the problem,
right?
He came in that 03 draft class when after he won the national championship. So you're talking about a guy like, like D. Wade, like LeBron, like Bosch. These guys are in their 11th.
11th.
So you're not going to teach a dog a new trick, especially when it's his offensive game, right? But I agree with you 100%. He needs to be more like Bernard King. Well, Bernard King had a special game, but he needs to be more like Kevin Durant, right? What Kevin Durant the other day, when on his 42, he was 20 for 22 from the line. He went to the line 22 times. So especially when the game is on the line, I don't want a – and Luol Deng's a good defender. I don't want a contested 20-footer. I mean, get to the hole. Even if it gets blocked, I live with that. I live with the block shot. Look, you're 6'7", 240. You know, good to the hole.
You're a manimal. Really, 6'9", be real. Look, Carmelo's special, but you can't – look, I'll say this,
here's
right?
Here's my thing. Let me ask you about the starting lineup, though. So they started Prigioni game one.
Right, it's going to be game
then,
to game.
So it's game to game. So does that mean that they'll be starting Bargnani? Because the problem with changing a point guard for a 4-5 is that your team looks totally different. You're not just changing, you know, who's starting in your backcourt. You're changing the whole complexion of the team. So what do you think about that? What do you think about the Knicks starting lineup?
I think, unfortunately, they're going to play to their matchups, and Milwaukee's small with Brandon Knight and Mayo, so they figure they could do Raymond and Priglione. I kind of like it sometimes. I don't love it, though, and, for me, I think the lineup should just be solid. Felton, Shumpert, Melo, Bargnani, and Chandler. And then when everybody's healthy and JR comes off suspension, it's JR and Amari and whoever else is the eighth man, the first three guys off the bench. And that should just be it. I don't like – look, we need to dictate to other teams
exactly
the lineup. We don't need to be, just getting mismatches and then putting Carmelo in situations. Yeah, look, there's certain times where I think Carmelo can play the four, and I could see a lineup with, let's say, Kenyon Martin, Melo, and Meta World Peace. Because Meta can stick a four and let Melo get a break. Or I could see a lineup of Amari playing some center with Raymond at the point in their pick and roll, and then maybe even Bargnani and Melo, or Bargnani and Meta. And Tim Hardaway Jr. looks like he's going to be a little bit of a player. They just got to mix it up. But I'm telling you, this double guard and Melo at the four, at least this year, if you have Melo at the four, you've got Meta who could stick the four compared to last year with Steve Novak. So we'll see. Look, it's early. It's the beginning of the season. We're hyped up, as you can tell already. Some teams are looking interesting. Kevin Love's back. He's healthy, the big shot. Minnesota's going to have a nasty team. Phoenix, Detroit, and Washington battled the first game. That was interesting. There's some interesting things tonight. You've got Brooklyn against Miami on ESPN, and then the second game is Spurs-Lakers. So we'll see
right,
what that
is. Out for the Spurs. He caught that elbow in the chest, so he's got that chest contusion, so he's out, even though, Popovich is probably going to sit him a lot of times on back-to-backs. They didn't play last night, but certainly he's going to take his minutes into account. And also, Jeremy Lin is back in the starting lineup for the Houston Rockets because Beverly got hurt. I actually like Jeremy Lin coming off the bench, so I think Kevin McHale's onto something there, but he's back in the starting lineup because Patrick Beverly's hurt.
But tell me what you thought about, talking about these great opening games and just stat lines. How about Dwight Howard? Was it 17 and 26 boards? Yo, stand up, Houston. You got a real center. That's like, that's, Ray, that's legitimate, right?
He's going to stuff the stat sheet. There's no doubt about it. So anybody that plays fantasy, the only thing that Dwight Howard kills you on is free throw percentage. But other than that, field goal percentage, block shots, rebounds, he gets up in the points. He gets up and down the court. He's going to have a monster year statistically. But you know what?
Yeah.
At this point in your career, it doesn't even matter.
No. It's all about jewelry.
It's all about the playoffs and how you match up in the playoffs.
Hey, let me tell you, Ray. The West is going to be, both conferences, 6-7, at least in the East, 6 teams potentially, in the West, 7 to, 10 teams that can make the playoffs and even throw their hat in the ring. But let me just say
this real quick. Go ahead. Finish up.
No, I'm going to say let's go to baseball. We'll clean it up and cap it up, but I'll just say on Monday we'll read off our fantasy basketball rosters, because we've got a busy show today, and we'll see how over the weekend Ray and Tay's players do in get off me and finger roll battle, because Ray can finger roll. So
there's
look,
one thing I could do
is you could finger roll. You know, my other name used to be Clapboards Crew. You know, Tay used to love the clapboards of my layups. So anyway, look. Baseball has been very, very good to me, and it's been a great season. The two best teams in 97 and 69, they started off in a World Series a little sloppy. I think the pitching was amazing. The Red Sox just were so strong in St. Louis. Come home. They don't give us a Game 7 for Halloween because they handle it in 6. Me and my boy William Truth, who, you know, home healing, did his Batman trick-or-treating yesterday. William and I both picked the Red Sox in 7. And Ray and my older son, Elijah Dukes, had the Cardinals in 7. So shout out to the Red Sox. And I told you, Boston strong, there was something special about this team, fear the beard, whatever you want to hashtag it, hashtag everything, but hashtag Lester and hashtag Gomes and Big Poppy and
hashtag
Uhara.
The Dodgers.
Nah. Just the Red
salaries.
Sox. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I agree with you on that.
Their hands,
so just tell me what you think. Give me a little
early.
Give me a little summary, man. We as Yankee fans, we don't love the Red Sox, but we gotta respect them. From worst to literally to first. Tell me how the Red Sox did it, and what do you think? Great
okay,
World
so
Series.
First
in a way.
Of all, I predicted the Red Sox to finish last in the AL East. So shame on me. I thought that they would rebuild slowly, but I didn't think that they would rebuild like this to win 97 games. But you know what?
Incredible.
Great for them. They brought in guys that they liked, guys that liked each other. So they brought in guys that weren't even the most talented, right? They had the guys that were the most talented, and that was Crawford, and that was Beckett, and that was Adrian Gonzalez. Those guys were talented. Right? They shipped them all to the Dodgers and started over. And they brought in Shane Victorino, which good for him. He won himself a Gold Glove. They brought in
amazing.
Johnny Gomes. You know, these are players that, you know, Xander Bogaerts, Will Middlebrooks, they had, you know, in the farm system. And then Uehara and Tozawa, you know, unbelievable. John Lackey, you know, pitched great in the playoffs, you know, back to, you know, almost was like Ponce de Leon, thinking back to when he was a rookie in 2002 winning with the Angels. So he drank from the fountain of youth.
And give Napoli some love. Didn't have a great average, but Napoli had clutch hits.
David Ortiz was unbelievable. I mean, the guy hit .688 in the World Series. And in game 6, they didn't even want to touch him. He was walked 4 times. He struck out once, he was walked 4 times, but he scored 2 runs. David Ortiz was unbelievable in this series. You know, they were debating in those middle 3 games where they were in the National League Park if they were going to play Ortiz
or Napoli
at first.
Yeah,
but David Ortiz quickly put an end to that. So, you know what? This is a complete team effort. Even though Ortiz was great in the World Series, if you think about it, Boston at times didn't hit at all. They didn't hit a lick against but they had clutch hits and clutch home runs. And they didn't hit much in the Detroit series, but they ended up winning that. In the World Series, you know, they played sloppy for a couple of games, but they ended up bouncing back from that. They got a wonderful – if Ortiz didn't hit .688, if he had hit .488, then Lester would have been the MVP.
Exactly.
But they got great pitching out of Lester and the back of their bullpen. Lackey delivered the goods. So you know what? This is the consummate team effort. Having said all of that, I do have to say Boston fans need to forever be quiet, because they didn't win a title in 84 years in baseball, and now they've won 3 titles in 10 years in baseball.
Amazing.
And at the same time, you got to go back to 2001, but from 2001, the Patriots have won 3 times and lost twice. So they've been to the Super Bowl 5 times. And then in that same span, right, in the late 2000s, so you got the Celtics winning and the Bruins winning. So Boston has become, as much as I hate to say it, has become Sports Town USA. So this
basically
8
titles in 12 years. which is amazing.
Underdog
stuff. Four sports.
You're not a small town. You're not, you know, getting any pity from anybody. You're a major, major, major sports town and sports market. But good for them. You know what? They earned it. They earned it. They earned it on the field. They totally rebuilt themselves. And good for them, you know. I'm a Yankee fan, so of course it hurts to see the Red Sox holding that championship 3 out of the last 10 years. But you know what? They deserved it.
No, they did. And we're not going to even get into talking about next season and repeats. Ray and Tay will follow, you know, a very busy offseason and free agency and all these moves and stuff. But you know what? It's time for a quick break and some college football talk. We'll be right back. Ray and Tay.
Meet a mommy, Benakaki.
Oh.
Come over here and dance with me.
Come on,
I see your body.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We're back to talk Saturday.
Pink Week 10.
Football. So,
can you believe it?
You know what?
Week 10 in college football?
November, which means this is basically the make-or-break month when you're trying to get positioned for a bowl game. Now, most of the conferences now have conference championships, and that'll be in the first weekend in December. But really, this month of November is going to shape who plays for the national championship. And we've got three
Definitely.
Games with top 25 implications. So you know what? Let's start with the big one.
You want to start with the big one? I was going to say let's go to the Big Ten first. Let's build up. Rock number 21, Michigan, the Wolverines. We love them. And, you know, Ray's wife is a graduate from there. So, you know, we shout out, you know, Erica and the Wolverines. Michigan State, number 22. You know what I think about when I think about this game? I get nostalgic. I think about these teams, 80s and 90s, and, you know, the great players they put in the NFL. But right now, you know, I can't get a feel for the not just the Big Ten, but is anybody else for real besides Ohio State in their conference? And I think this game can maybe, you know, bounce somebody up to, you know, smell the top 15 and maybe even creep in if they upset Ohio State to a BCS bowl game. But, you know, I just don't know if it's Gardner, you know, what he'll do, or Cook for Michigan State. You know, he's already got 1,200 yards passing. You know, I'll just have to simply say I don't expect too much from either one of these teams in the long run. But I'll say this, I'm just going to go with Michigan because I just think Gardner has got to sort of stand up and stand out against, you know, a pretty good Michigan State defense. So I'll go with the Wolverines, Gardner, and some of their big-time players stepping up and having, I guess, you know, not a huge game, but a big enough game that they can take one against the Sparties. I'll go Michigan 26-23 against Michigan State. Go Wolverines.
So here's the thing. You have a classic case of strength versus weakness. So the Michigan State strength is their defense, right? And Michigan, while they're great on offense, they've put up some numbers on offense. I should say they're great. They've put up some numbers on offense. But
okay.
They're okay. But their weakness is their offensive line. I think they suspended their tight end also, A.J. Williams, so they'll be without him. So, I have to agree with you on the score, but I have a different outcome. I think this will be a low-scoring game. And I think in a low-scoring game, the team with the better defense, I think, is going to be able to make some plays. So I think because this game is in East Lansing, and all those Michigan fans out there, I hate to do it to you. I hate to do it to you, but
you're gonna have trouble at home. You're gonna have some beef at home.
Man, you know,
let's send Erica a little tweet if she hears the show.
Life, you know.
I'm a beef you out. I'm gonna send wifey a little tweet. Let her know what you said.
Don't do it to me. No, I'll tell her. Look, I pick with my head. You know, I try not to let my heart get involved, but I think that it's gonna be a low scoring affair. And in a low-scoring affair in East Lansing, the Michigan State Spartans make the critical plays, and I think they win 20-17.
Okay, that's fair. Let's bounce quickly to the Big 12. Number 18, Oklahoma State, who brought us Dez Bryant and Justin Blackman, who, against, you know, let's forget about, you know, our boy Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders. We'll just name those guys for now, against number 15, Texas Tech. Now, I had Oklahoma beating Texas Tech. Texas Tech is still, you know, solid number 15 in the country. I guess for me, I want to see what Walsh can do against Texas Tech's defense. If he can, bless you, if he can sort of, you know, drive it down the field, do what he needs to do. I think Oklahoma State, for some reason, they're – I don't love their running game, you know. I don't know if Texas Tech is going to, you know, totally stop them. But I don't think that Oklahoma State is going to be able to score. And I think you're going to see Webb bounce back. I think you're going to see, you know, Washington put up, you know, more of a game running the ball. They'll get it out to their wide receivers. Webb will be solid for you know, Texas Tech. I mean, he's close to, you know, 2,000 yards on a season, giving you 1,800. So I'm going to go Texas Tech, sort of not taking them to the shed, but I'll say they get back scoring explosively and win 31-20, Texas Tech over Oak State.
That's a big game. Okay. I have to agree with the outcome. I think that Texas Tech at home is tough. Going to Lubbock is difficult. Their offense is explosive. I think they're top five in the nation in total yards, passing yards. They don't run the ball, though.
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
Not
so,
enough.
So if you can stop that passing game, I think they're ranked like 100th in the nation in running the ball, 108th in the nation in running the ball.
Gosh.
But they can pass it, and they can sling it along, you know, Webb and Mayfield are, you know, combined are at, you know, almost 3,300 yards. So
yeah,
look for Texas Tech to put up points, and if Oklahoma State can't get into that shootout with them, which I'm not sure they can, I like Texas Tech. I like Texas Tech pretty big. So like you, I think Texas Tech can put up – I think they can put up 35, and I don't see Oklahoma State scoring more than, you know, 24. So same point difference I think you had, 11, but 35,
yeah.
24.
All right, so we have to wait to Thursday night, and we might have a special guest on Monday, you know, who's a friend of the show, been with us and talking, George Reister, a Duck guy, you know, who wanted a 52-burger against UCLA, but it just didn't happen, but Oregon still won. But this right here is going to be one of the biggest games in ACC, right? We thought we had Florida State. Clemson is the biggest game, and Florida State just put the hammer on. And famous Jameis just goes on to, you know, whatever. So him and Mariota go back and forth. And just like Oregon and Florida State and the BCS and the rankings, back and forth to 2 and 3. So with Oregon being idle this week, Florida State hosts, at number 3, hosts Miami, right, at number 7. And I don't know. You know, the last couple of weeks, ESPN is showing his press conferences live, and you know, the team is – you know, just doing what they got to do. Freeman is doing his thing as a running back, and, you know, you've got the Green on the outside and their tight end and just different receivers. But it's all about Winston, 1,800, you know. I mean, the dude, look, let me tell you something. When this guy, he can run the ball, but he stands back in the pocket and just drills it and guns it. So when
is
you
Johnny
see
Manziel
the type
number
of
two? Is he going to win the Heisman?
Yeah, man, look, he's got 2,100 passing yards already. You know, so I'll just say this, right? I don't know if Morris and Johnson and sort of the Miami weapons, I don't know if they can consistently score against Florida State's speed. I think Florida State's defense is a little underrated, to be honest with you. And so with me, I see Morris, he gets a lot of bad turnovers. Okay, so
yeah,
for me, I think
interceptions, that's too much.
Yeah,
no,
against
10
touchdown passes.
Eight interceptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little.
So, you know, those turnovers, they're costly. And if you do that to Winston, give him a short field, hey, 50 yards out, he could throw a bomb for a touchdown. So
can
I say all this to say.
No, well, let me, before you say your
okay.
outcome. You know, we don't usually go to Vegas, right? Or you know, to
Woo.
See what the line in Vegas is. But can I just tell you that when I heard this, I was flabbergasted. You know, we need to have a Ray and Tay hot phone bat phone link up to the Elias Sports Bureau. Because
okay.
in this game, we have two top 10 teams, right? We got, what is it, three against seven. The Florida State Seminoles, I don't know if you know this. Do you know what the spread is?
I would say Florida State is favored by 13.
Florida State is favored by 21 points.
Good gracious, lot of mercy.
They are the third-ranked team in the nation. They're not hosting an unranked.
Did you say 21?
21, as in three touchdowns.
8 o'clock Eastern?
With three extra points. I mean, to me, I was like, this has got to be one of the biggest spreads ever between two teams that are only four ranking positions apart, right? Three versus seven? Three is hosting, and that wasn't a major injury, right? It's not like you're hosting Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel and Evans both, you know, broke their legs, God forbid. But 21 points?
Look, Tallahassee, maybe they got something going. But, no, you're right, and I'll tell you this. Maybe we should call Vegas and put in some dough for Miami. But you know what's so funny? This game could get away with the turnovers from Morris, and they might be able to do it. And I think Vegas, what they're telling you is that Miami's not ready. They're playing above their heads. And they're also telling you that Winston could be our Heisman Trophy winner. So I'll say this to say 34-23 FSU. Shout out to Deion Sanders in primetime and Charlie Ward, Florida State. That's Tate's pick.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Winston is throwing it around the yard like it's pitch and catch. I mean, he's got 23 touchdowns for a redshirt freshman, 23 touchdowns, four interceptions, completing at 70%. I mean,
he's third in the nation in
touchdowns, and he looks like he's having fun, and the team around him responds to him. So Florida State, similar to the Texas Tech offense, can go up and down the field. So they're too much to handle. I think they're third in the nation, averaging 52.5 points a game, Florida State is. So I don't think they'll cover. I don't think they'll win by 21. I think Miami has pride, and Miami will scratch together some points and maybe come up with a good possession or two on defense, so they'll keep it close. But I do think they win, I'm going to say, 31-17, Florida State. So
okay, 31-17, and I got 34-23. So, look, it's time. It's sad to say, and maybe on Monday when everybody plays eight games, maybe we can do some midseason awards. I see everybody doing midseason awards, but it's a little too early. And Rain Tate don't like to follow nobody. But it's time, week 9 in the NFL. And I'll start off with KC at Buffalo. But before that, give our fantasy and our fans the teams on the bye this week, because it's a lot of good teams.
A lot of good teams and a lot of good players. So don't forget. So like Tay said, get your byes right. So byes this week, Denver. That's probably about four or five players on that team. Detroit, another four or five players. The Giants, maybe you have Hakeem Nicks, maybe you have Victor Cruz. San Francisco, maybe you have their defense, maybe you have Vernon Davis. He needs that week to rest up on his ankle. Fred Jackson.
Frank Gore.
And then Frank Gore. And then you have two teams that are struggling a little bit, but still you might have somebody in Arizona. And then Jacksonville, I don't know who you have on Jacksonville. I mean, I have Cecil Shorts. You don't
Cecil
have
Shorts,
Justin
yeah.
Blackman. You can get rid of him. He's suspended indefinitely. Yeah. So, yeah, six teams. So just be careful because
this
one of
is a big bye
weeks. Yeah.
Six great teams. So my mistake, I'll start off with KC and Buffalo. Let's just to put a little, you know, clean cap on 22-20 victory for Miami, I'll say this. Just when you want to think the player of the month is Andy Dalton, you know, he had, you know, bunch of games in a row, three over 300 yards, three touchdowns. He had three in a row. He's going for four last night, and, you know, it just didn't happen. This is my issue. He actually had three interceptions and 338. This is my issue with you. This is a team you've believed in a little bit more than me, and they've given us proof. I mean, you know, had some huge wins. forget the fact they just have the injury. And, you know, I mean, look, A.J. Green gives you the 128 with 11 receptions. He's a monster. But on Miami, this was huge. To save their season, you got Lamar Miller only – this is wild – only on 16 carries, giving you a 100-burger, getting 105 yards. The Dolphins might have saved their season, but the Bengals give you – a huge question mark in my mind, because they got to win this game, Ray. If they're going to turn the corner and not be like the Falcons and the Texans and stay in that rut, and those guys are doing horrible this year, but these teams that get close but don't win anything, the Bengals have to win this game. So I'm disappointed in the Bengals, and we tip our hat to Hank and the Miami Dolphins really for a big win at home and, you know, maybe potentially saving their season. What do you think this says about your Bengals? Because That was a bad loss. I'm sorry.
Yeah, look.
Now it's 6-3.
Everybody's on Andy Dalton. I didn't think he played that poorly. I mean, the guy did still throw for 300 yards. If the interception, the pick six, if you recall, was preceded by a somewhat weak Jermaine Gresham holding call, where my boy Marvin would have gotten a touchdown, and so. That would have been one less interception, and the other interception wasn't his fault. So you could argue through one and a half
sort of dropped it, yeah.
So it's not a great game because he's the, you know, he was player of the month. He had, what did he have, 11 touchdowns, two interceptions in the prior couple games or the prior three games. So Andy Dalton didn't play his best game, but he certainly didn't play, you know, a terrible game. Look, the problem for me is Geno Atkins. And when he went down, I said, oh, that's my AFC dark horse right there going down. But you know what? I think offensively they're fine. They have balance. Andy Dalton can win you a Super Bowl. I don't know if he will, but I think he's good enough with that supporting cast to win you a Super Bowl. He's better than, you know.
Brad Johnson and Dilfer, yeah.
Right, exactly. He's more – he's a game manager plus-plus. You know, he can make plays. So I'm actually okay with Andy Dalton. I've come around on him. So I think that, like you said, Miami now, especially with New England not being so invincible in that AFC East, they're still alive.
1-4, they're still alive.
Yeah, I think the Jets are going to come back to reality starting this week. But the Bengals, to me, they've got to go figure out how to replace Geno Atkins and then just be a little more consistent on offense. I mean, they dug themselves too big a hole in the first half to come back. So I think they're fine. They're 6-3. Don't worry about the Bengals. They'll be okay. They'll still be 10-6.
Let's rock and roll. Let's rock and roll. So the 6-0 Chiefs. I'm sorry, the 8-0 Chiefs. Wow.
Yeah, watch your
crazy
tongue.
When you say it's crazy. It's crazy when you say it out loud. They are traveling to Orchard Park to the Buffalo Bills, 3-5. I'll say this. You know, the Bills are one of those teams that if you're not careful, they can knock you off your horse. I actually think this is going to be a better game than most people think. Charles is a little banged up, so is Bo, but I think they'll probably go. Alex Smith is, you know, probably going to go down as one of the best game managers ever this season, right, at 1,795 yards passing. C.J. Spiller, you know, you just don't know how much he's going to give you. Fred Jackson's been holding it down. Stevie Johnson's inconsistent each week. And it's going to be Thaddeus Lewis going, not Tool. So Thaddeus Lewis will probably, you know, do what he needs to do. I'll just say this real quick. You know, we're running low on time, so I'm going to give you this in a rhyme. KC Chiefs go 9-0 and get the cha-ching one more time. So I got the Chiefs winning. I'll say 23-17. Good defensive battle, some stats, and a solid win. 9-0
okay.
Chiefs.
The Chiefs are going to start losing games. I think they're going to start losing two or three games pretty soon. I don't think they're going to go 14-2, something like that.
Oh, no.
So I think second half of the year they're going to lose some games. They just won't lose this week. The Buffalo Bills have played a lot of people tight, so I give them credit. But I think that your boy Thad isn't going to hold it down this week. They need their full complement of players to be healthy. I think they're going to try and ease your boy CJ back in, but it's not enough. So I like the Chiefs in this game. I think they win fairly easily. I'll call it 24-14.
So you got Drew Brees and the Saints, and Sean Payton, you know, could be coach of the year if it wasn't for Andy Reid. We'll see. Basically 6-1 coming to the Jets and MetLife at 4-4. Now, Rex Ryan needs all the props in the world for what he's done with the horrible injury. Wait, horrible injuries and a horrible offensive roster. But, hey, if it wasn't for Peyton Manning, this guy called Drew Brees, almost 2,300 passing yards, 2,290, a beast. Jimmy Graham will be a little bit more healthy this week. You know, but Chris Ivory is back, and it looked like he's really running. I don't know if Holmes will go, but Curley's stepping up. I think the Jets are going to surprise some people. I think the brother matchup will be a nice chess piece, but I think Rex will prepare Geno for Rob Ryan. But the problem is it's not going to be enough because they can't stop all that the Saints bring. I got a surprising outcome, but I will say the Saints – They pull it out. I'll go. I'll just go 24-21. I think the Jets will be in there and we'll fight. Or no, 24-20 because they'll get some field goals. 24-20, Saints win a close one.
You know, I've been wrong with the Jets every week until last week. I predicted a blowout. They got blown out. So the Jets play one of two ways. They play tight and then they eke out a game, win or lose. Like they lost to, you know, the Patriots, but they were able to eke out a couple of wins. Like they beat the Tampa Bay Bucks in the first week of the season. So, or they get blown out, and Geno just has a couple of horrible turnovers and whatever. I think this is another blowout week. The problem is the Saints put too much offensive pressure on you. So Geno Smith doesn't have the luxury of, you know, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, and still being in the game. You go three and out your first four or five possessions, you're down 24-0. So,
and Milner and Cromartie are not playing great.
Yeah, so I think that the Saints just have too much. Colston is banged up. Jimmy Graham's banged up, so that might slow them down a little bit.
Kenny Fields.
Yes, pick him up. I still think that the Colts can put up, the Saints can put up 38. I think it's going to be a second half outburst. I think it'll be close at halftime, and then second half, the Saints just pull away. So I like the Saints in this game, 38-23.
Wow. So in a week of some ugly matchups, you know, there's really not much to go from. So let's look at my Steelers at the New England Patriots. Now, look,
how about them Steelers?
You could say that this is sort of like their season on the line for real, and it really is. One and three on the road. They're still kind of shot in their division, right? If Cleveland could beat Baltimore, and then you got Cincy losing, they're 2-5.
Are you going to give us the homer pick? Or are you going to give us the straight,
let me tell you.
Analysis.
Look, the Patriots at 6-2. Gronkowski, Sturweek back. They're 4-0 at home. Patriots don't really lose at home. Brady is killing all our fantasy owners. I have him in Ray and Tay League. He's killing me. I'm actually starting Terrell Pryor this week in a 1980 flashback of the Eagles-Raiders Super Bowl matchup. I'm going with Pryor. And I will tell you this. Yes, Ridley gets stopped. The Steelers have one of the – I think they're number three in pass defense this year. Even though they can be picked apart, I think that they can sort of stop these receivers. And I think Jones is going to the bench. You're going to have World starting. I think Le'Veon Bell will pound the Patriots, even though they made their trade to get their, you know, defensive lineman. I think our boy, your boy, who you
Michigan
got.
Michigan State wins.
Exactly. Antonio Brown will do good. A little bit of Heath Miller. Big Ben plays his game off. And they upset, like they did a couple
what?
Years ago when they went to New England. The Pittsburgh Steelers, baby. Our season is not over yet. The Steelers win 24-23. Swish them for a 41-yarder at the buzzer from being down 23-21. We kick the field goal to win the game. Steelers all day, every day.
Are you speaking from your heart or are you speaking from your head?
I really think they're going to put something together.
Okay.
24-23.
Okay.
Hey, cause the upset.
You know what? I love the Steelers historically when their backs are against the wall. I just don't think they have enough lead in the pencil. I don't think they have enough bullets in the holster. You can use whatever analogy you want. Le'Veon Bell will be happy, I think, because his Spartans will have won on Saturday, so he might be extra juiced up. But like you said, the Patriots don't lose at home. The Patriots are 4-0 at home. The Steelers are 1-3 on the road. I think it will be a close game, but I like the Patriots in close games in Foxborough. So this isn't your normal Steelers team. This isn't your father's Steelers team, your cousin's Steelers team. This is
your
the
uncle.
Dallas Steelers team. Yeah, this is like the Louis Lips, you know, not
hey,
a good
whoa,
Steelers
whoa.
Team.
Don't diss Louis Lips, baby. Doing this, my boy.
So this is just one of those
Tommy
years
Maddox.
where Bobby Bristol, you got to just, you write this season off, and I think that
give me
too
the score.
Much to go into Foxborough.
I poo-poo on you. Give me the score.
All right. I like the Patriots in this game, 24-17.
All right. Real quick, before we give you studs and duds, we've got what could be a stud game. Sunday Night Football, NBC, everybody's going to be there. Bob Costas, all the guys, Chris Collinsworth, Al. It's the 5-2 Colts, who three of their wins are against the Niners, Seahawks, and Broncos. Pretty, pretty good stats. Against the 2-5 Texans. Yes, I'll say it again. 2-5 Texans. And they're 1-2 at home. Case Keenum is starting. You've got Tate probably might not go. You're waiting to hear about Arian Foster, who probably go,
he's
banged up. Owen Daniels is out probably for the rest of the season. Maybe come back week 14. It's kind of a mess. Schaub is sort of depressed. Andre Johnson's a little off. Maybe you'll see DeAndre Hopkins do something. But I'm going to tell you this: Reggie Wayne is gone, but there's a guy over there called Trent Richardson, who is going to finally wake up and step up. And you're going to see, yo, Terps, Darius Hayward-Bey, the number two receiver now because Reggie Wayne is gone, T.Y. Hilton, and our boy Brazil, the third receiver, and Fleener, who Ray has in fantasy.
Kobe,
I think the Colts are going to go on
Kobe.
The road. Yep, Kobe with a C. Get it? Don't get it twisted. I say the Colts do it. The Colts go to 6-2, win at Houston Texans. The fans throw popcorn on the field. They're pissed off. They don't like Keenum. They don't like Schaub. They don't like Yates. They don't like the coach, and it's time for him to go. This will be Kubiak's last season. I'm predicting it now. Colts win 26-20. Andrew Luck, baby.
I like the Colts also. I think it'll be a close game. The Texans don't typically get blown out. They've played a lot of good teams close this season. I think this is starting to be a little bit of a rivalry, but, you know, obviously you can't be a rival if you don't have your main guns. But I do think that the Texans will keep it close. Ultimately, though, your boy's too much. Andrew Luck is too much. He's the real deal. If Richardson can get his act together and start running like he knows how, like he was running at Alabama.
Donald Brown.
Donald Brown, that's a little, 1-2 punch that they have. And like you said, losing Reggie Wayne's a big deal. But Darius Hayward-Bey, remember, he's the number 7 pick overall. He's got speed. And Al Davis liked his vertical threat, and maybe the Colts can get that out of him, especially if he's going to get a lot more looks. So I like the Colts in this game, 24-23. Very close. Colts win.
Okay, real quick. Couple of studs and duds. I'll say this. You know, you're going around. You got to rock your Seahawks defense. I think they're going to put it on Tampa. I mean, it might be like a, 30-3 type game. I'll say this. If you really want somebody this week in fantasy to do something pretty good, it might be Drew Brees against that Jets secondary. I think the Jets will fight and give him a good game, but Drew Brees will give you another 300 and at least 2 or 3 touchdowns. My dud is...
You know who I like?
Who,
I like Danny Woodhead. I think he's a matchup nightmare, and I think the Redskins have some issues at linebacker trying to cover a little Danny Woodhead out of the backfield. So I think running the ball, he'll give you a little bit, but he might do what he did to Dallas and catch 2 touchdowns. So as your kind of sleeper, under-the-radar guy, Danny Woodhead.
Well, you know what's funny? In those 2 games, I think the Redskins will pull out a shootout over Phillip Rivers, like 38-35, RG3, Redskins fans stand up. But then your Cowboys, I think, put a hurting on the starter again, Christian Ponder, and bounce back from that ugly loss to Detroit, and the Cowboys win like 27-10 over over the Vikings. So, we got some studs and duds for you. You think anything happens
about Jimmy Graham? You think Jimmy Graham is healthy enough to put up big numbers? But let's put it this way. Can you ever sit Jimmy Graham, or is he like Adrian Peterson?
No, you have to start him. You got to start him. He gets like 4 catches for like 82 yards and maybe a touchdown. Look, the Saints are tough. But, the Jets are going to give you some heart and some fight. And That's all you ask for, man. You just ask for Ray and Tay, and we give you a great show. We'll be back on Monday, and now we got to let them know. Thank you for talking, hanging out with Ray and Tay. We'll talk to you on Monday, and thanks for talking sports.
Talking sports with friends.
Friends. Yeah, man. Great show. Hey, listen, watch the NBA tonight. Brooklyn, Jason Kidd, still not coaching. He'll be back, I guess, the third game, so see what happens, and we'll see the Kevin Garnett and Pierce against, you know, the Heat and Ray Allen and all them guys. Ray and Tay today.
Be a great
we're out.
Weekend.
Ray and Tay. Ray and Tay. In the tradition of what likes to do, best to do. The show's over, not the push over. Don't you understand that I'm ill life over? The Range Rover, type of flow, but I'm whipping in the Benz and you know I gotta go. Yes, I am the father of four. I got my sons and we're bringing more. Go for Zsa Zsa Gabor. Don't really want no type of shots scores. My mind's on the floor. But guess what? They bounce up to the ceiling. More than baby face and you know it's whip appealing. Don't you know we're three-wheeling? Jump in the heavens and you know I'm feeling the ill deck and the crazy ill hands. William Truth, you know he's my man. Back from the hospital, 22 days. My son is just healing and he always amazes. Makes the picks and he picked the Red Sox. In the NFL, he's third place and he rocks. Last night he picked Miami on the upset. But dad says, take the Bengals. What a little messed up, yep. And he said, it's okay. It's not your fault, dad, that day. I'm sorry, just like Atari, but I'm down with PS4, yo, don't bother me, and I rock and roll, my Steelers are in my heart and soul, shout out to the ladies you know, Erica and Alana are our wives, yo, Ray and Tay, you know we don't play, check out the website, I rock it every day, rayandtay.com, got the arm, Drew Brees gonna throw the bomb.